Okay, welcome to In the Line of Hire, the show that brings you instant reaction and views to the wonderful TV show The Apprentice. As most of you hopefully will know, I was lucky enough to be part of The Apprentice journey by winning Series 4 back in 2008. And over the next 12 weeks, we'll be running a series of shows looking back on the class of 2022 and doing so with some very, very special guests. Each week, I'll be joined by the resident expert on business psychology and the COO and co-founder of the assessment platform, Phoenix 51. Chris Wimshurst will be sharing the analysis and data on each of the candidates each week. Welcome aboard, Chris.
Thank you, Lee. Delighted to be here and really looking forward to getting into the conversation and looking at the class of 2022.
Absolutely. Fantastic to have you on board. You can follow us on Twitter, on Instagram and LinkedIn. And you also can get interactive with us with our live streams via YouTube and LinkedIn Live as well. This week, I'm sure you can see on screen already, I'm absolutely delighted to be joined by the current champion and 2019 winner of The Apprentice, the managing director of Doe Artisan Bakehouse, and of course, Lord Sugar's current business partner, Karina Lepore. Karina, how are you getting on?
Hi, guys. I'm well, thank you. Very excited to be here, and thanks for having me.
Oh, mate, absolutely a joy to have you here. Thank you so much for taking the time out. Just give us a bit of an insight, Karina, into what it's been like over the last kind of couple of years. What it was like for you to win, to get the finger, your hired finger, like I do, I got all them years ago. It's a damn sort of better than getting the your fired one. So what was it like for you to win, and what's it been like with being Lord Sugar's business partner?
So, yeah, the initial win is so, it was like, I was so excited and had all these massive plans. Obviously, naturally, you win the show and you make a load of plans. And in your head, you're like, right, I'm launching this business partner now. Let's do this. And then 2 months, 3 months later, in my case, we then hit a worldwide pandemic, totally unheard of. No one really knew how to deal with it. In business worlds and personal and any sort of anything, no one knew what it was at the time.
Completely brand new.
Yeah, it was brand new and very scary actually. So so having the win and then jumping into that, I think it has been a massive roller coaster the last 2 years, none of which I would do different or feel like has sort of pulled me back too much that I haven't managed to either build a great relationship with Lord Sugar. We've still maintained that, and actually maybe it's blossomed even better because we've gone through all this sort of hardship together and had all the challenges that we've had to face. So in that sense, great. The business is still there. Hospitality has had a massive hit, and me and my team are still thriving and building and wanting to continue and still have that passion and desire in us, which without them, I wouldn't be able to do it. Because it has been really tough, I'll be honest.
No, for sure. And look, and I think you speak for millions and millions of people, business owners across the globe, right? You know, the pandemic has literally affected everybody's lives over the last kind of 18 months, 2 years. And when just as you're seeing a bit of a light at the end of the tunnel, it starts to, you know, the media scaremongers come out again and, you know, it starts putting everything into doubt. So, you know, I think you've done an absolutely amazing job to build a business in a global pandemic. It's been a brilliant effort. You mentioned there as well about the final. What was it like, Karina, getting into the final? I remember just reflecting, which is the beauty of doing so many shows, actually, because I won so many years ago, don't really get talked about anymore. But I remember going into the final. Ours was a weird one. We had kind of four people in the final, like a double final almost. And I remember getting into the kind of the top five and thinking, I've got a chance here. I could go and win the whole thing. What was it like for you? Did you think as soon as you, like, you know, you entered thinking, I'm going to win this? Or was it a progression? How was your take on winning the show?
So for me, it was more of a, I entered the house, I knew, you know, I looked around, right, there's 15, 16 other people. And I was so hungry for it that there was no other focus. I had no other focus. I didn't really want to, you know, do anything except become Lord Sugar's business partner. So with that determination and drive, and obviously Lord Sugar seeing something in me, then went on, led me to win the show. But I had a great feeling and I really wanted it. So, yeah, I feel like it was more that, not oh, you know, I'm going to win this. So I've got this in the bag. It wasn't that attitude. It was more, I really want to win this and I want to prove what I can do. That sort of attitude I had.
Yeah. And it's so interesting hearing you talk. Obviously, we've got Chris with us as well. I wasn't a business psychologist as well. And I'm sure you'll be loving the fact that we're talking about kind of behaviours and attitude, like drive, determination. You know, some of the real, I say basics, but some of the real fundamentals that everybody needs to be successful. I haven't yet met somebody who is really successful in their role or in their whatever it is they do, whether they're a footballer, if they're an actor, if they're an entrepreneur, that doesn't work hard. And that determination, that drive to succeed, it runs through everybody that I've ever met being successful. And it's interesting that you had the same thing, Karina. Did you ever think like, that's my competition, or that person's my competition? It's so weird how you eyeball people and think that. Did that happen when you walked into the house?
Yeah, from task one, I sort of spotted my immediate competition, which was Scarlett, who I then ended up being in the final.
So yeah, crazy.
I just knew, right, she's my competition. I met her and Pamela, who were, again, we was final three. We all got on great, which was it's quite hard and another challenge that people will have and the new contestants definitely will have is that, because, yes, you can relate because you're a strong businesswoman. However, then it's like, well, I'm a strong businesswoman, so I really want this. And then that can cause... Yeah. Friction, but we didn't allow it to. We was very lucky in our series, we all did actually get on. So yeah, we just all had that drive and then fundamental sort of values in business that we all had them. It's just I wanted it more.
It's interesting as well because again, I, you know, when you film the, I don't know if it's changed now, but you know when you film the walking across the bridge, and just to some of the viewers and stuff, I don't think I'm giving any spoilers away when I say that none of the candidates have met anybody before that particular time. You all come in separate cars and you film. It's still the same, like crazy how all these years have gone past. And I remember walking across the bridge and eyeballing people. And I'd done exactly the same. And I was like, Alex is my main competition. Yeah. Claire's my main competition. And they, and Helene, they were the people that was in the final. I mean, you couldn't make it up. It was like, so there's that initial gut reaction or that initial, okay, these are the people that I need to be. But again, I think you come across really humble and I was very similar in a sense of I had no God-given right at all to win the show. I mean, I come from a very, you know, working class background, living in a council house, you know, no GCSEs, all that type. That's my background. So I'm walking into this house and there's people that have got law degrees and people that have got firsts, and I'm thinking I shouldn't even be here, let alone I'm going to go and win. But again, that drive, that determination, that passion really... Yeah. It saw me through, I think. Obviously, you'd have to ask the boss, Chief. But, you know, ultimately, I think that's what saw me through. And it feels like it was similar vein to you as well. Yeah. That actually, them fundamentals are the foundation of your success.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I feel exactly the same. And we have a similar sort of upbringing as well. And I did get that off the back of the show that a lot of, you know, the super fans of The Apprentice, a lot of people, a lot of customers in my shop day to day wanted to talk to me about it. And the general vibe was you were so normal. You were so humble. You were just you. And I remember any sort of talks that I do now and the one piece of advice and anything people want tips and stuff, the one thing I say is just be yourself, because for one, Karen, Claude, Karen, Tim, Lord Sugar, they're going to call you out, they're going to know. Mm-hmm. And for two, who are you to not stay true to yourself? Do you know what I mean? I just thought the only way I could be. So yeah, I did remain very humble, and there were times similar to your experience actually where it was like I was in the boardroom and one for me on my series, and I don't think anyone would mind me saying it, was Lottie, who came from a completely different background, which is fine. I am very personal. I'll relate to anyone and find a sort of something we can relate with. However, there was one time in a boardroom when she would say a piece, and I even said to Lord Sugar and Karen, I was like, I don't talk like that. Anything she just waffled on about in a posh, effectively using posh words, how it is, and this is how it was. And I think sometimes that plays you in better stead because it is just an honest sort of raw version. And as long as you know, this is what I've learned from Lord Sugar, as long as you know what you're talking about, it doesn't really matter how affluent and how you say it, it's to the point. And he's very much, like, I know how much this is and that's how much that is. X and Y. That's how I quickly became in the show. Just know what I want to talk about, and basically that.
Very interesting. I mean, we were talking in the green room beforehand, weren't we, about kind of little records. And I still have my little records up on The Apprentice as well. I think you have done me, to be fair. But just talk to the you know, the watching audience and the listeners as well about your records. You was never you won three times as project manager or team leader, yeah. And you was never taken into the final three of the boardroom. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah. So the
you were never up for being fired, Karina.
It was, yeah, so never in the bottom three, one three, PM three, one, and one all three. And then it was 1 9 out of 10. So that was, I think, took me over the white winning. That one that I lost, I was so gutted as well. It was like really, did something to me because I really didn't want to lose.
Imagine having a perfect record. That would have been insane. I mean, I was never in the final three at a boardroom either. And I also won 3 out of 3 of PM, but I did lose 3 tasks. I think we was talking off air as well, a bit of tongue in cheek. I think that's because I was in the boys' team for the first 3 tasks.
Yeah, yeah.
That's probably what it was.
All the time. Like, why do the boys come across so bad when they're alone? Like, they're left to their own devices and they can't do it. They just can't perform alone.
For sure. So let's get into it then. Cruise ship is the first time we've met all of the candidates on Series 16. Somebody will take your current crown, which is the downside, of course, Karina, but somebody will take that crown. And we've got to see them now over the hour in performing. What did you actually think? I mean, first and foremost, I personally felt that the advertising task was a big task to start with. You know, I don't think we did our advertising task. It was a tissue task, actually, task 9. So we were 9 tasks in our series. I thought that's quite a big task to start with. What did you think? What did you think of the task in essence?
Yeah, I agree. And I feel like potentially, I mean, the show hasn't aired for a long time. There was a lot of build up and a lot of suspense and expectation, really. So I feel like maybe that was a bit behind it with regards to like starting off with a bang. It needed it. It couldn't be a slow start. It really needed to be like really effective and suck us in from the start. And I think it did that from talking to everyone. It was like everyone was gripped. It was so interesting seeing like, well, we're getting to like seeing the sort of mistakes is the wrong words, but just the, you know, it's so stressful. And that first task alone, where you've got everyone, all them big come together. And then you've got whatever they had to do in the first. You have to design a logo, be on the cruise ship, pitch to retailers, all in the first task whilst trying to impress Tim and Karen. It is a lot. It's very impressive.
And it's that pressure, again, just to give to some of the viewers and the listeners as well, that pressure doesn't just come from wanting to win and wanting to get through to the next week and wanting to impress Tim and Karen and Lord Sugar. It also comes from sleep deprivation and the fact that you're in a brand new environment you've never been in before. You've got cameras in your faces that you've never had before as well. I mean, did you feel that same way? I mean, maybe week one, sleep deprivation, people will say, well, hang on a minute, you couldn't have had much sleep. But believe you me, you're up very, very early on that morning. I would say that my alarm went up at 3 a.m, I think. On that first day. And you've got to remember, and again, I'm not sure if it's the same for you, Karina, obviously I'll ask you, but when we done ours, we went to the boardroom with all of our lovely suits on and that, thinking we're going to meet everyone and whatever. No, we were straight in the task. And we were like, holy moly, we're straight in.
Yeah, it was, I mean, for me, it was so intense. Probably the most, because we flew straight to South Africa. Task one, I didn't know anyone's names. I didn't know who. I didn't
that
even
get
fired. None of the boys. We flew to South Africa. You're then meant to perform with cameras in your face, like you say. Claude making all his notes, and then so you haven't slept because I can't sleep for 11 hours. And then you flew back straight to boardroom. There was no rest. It was so intense. People don't even see all that behind the scenes. And we're off the plane. We're in the boardroom, like, and you don't have a makeup artist. I'm sorry, no. Bags were on show. Like, it was so, I felt sick. It was so stressful. So, yeah, it's probably the most pressured sort of show and intense environment from the start. But that is what they want to see, you know. Can you be a great leader whilst under this pressure and in this environment? And can you sort of shine through? And can them elements of decision-making and great communication shine through whilst you're under all that pressure?
Totally. And again, you know, I use a football analogy, as I love to most of the times in my life, I'm afraid. But, you know, it's like taking a penalty to win the World Cup, or, you know, in a World Cup semi-final with a grand stadium. You can be on the training field as much as you want, pinging penalties in all day long. But until you're in that pressured environment, you don't know how you're going to react. And that's what I think that the producers and the show and The Apprentice does brilliantly. They make the pressure real. Yeah. You know, and that's something that's very difficult, isn't it, to describe to people that haven't been in there. That's why you mentioned earlier about the bond that you had with Pamela and with Scarlett, even though you were tough competition. The bond that you form with the other candidates is massive, because they're all going through the same thing as you. So you kind of get it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, massively get it. You build my Tommy, it was like my rock in there. Vice versa, I felt like when them little bits of time, when you do get to just chill and talk, which are very rare to none, it does help, because you're in the same thing. You're both, luckily, me and him never worked on the same team, because God, if we was up against each other like that, then he would have stressed me out. But because he would always come back, I've won this, all cocky, I'd be like, mate, I've won. I think we've got a great natural relationship of just, he's won that one again, great. But he had such a great charm and energy, and that's what you really need. Like, it's just people that get it and know what you're going to do. Yeah. As long as you can separate task versus boardroom versus back in the house, as long as you do that well and don't hold a grudge, it is what it is, all right? You just got to move. You've got to have that thick skin about you.
Yeah, totally. I think it's interesting. And Karina, you referenced leadership a moment ago in terms of, you know, putting yourself forward. And obviously there is the two individuals, you had Akshay and Catherine, who put themselves forward for the you know, the PM role, episode one. How do you think they did?
I think, look, to PM the first task is always going to be a challenge and always going to be a hard thing to do and look good doing to the viewer. So I think they both did well overall, in a nutshell, if you're going to say it like that. I think they both did a good job. Catherine did a better job. And I feel like she already is showing great signs of, you know, that commercial ability, the whole decision-making, the creativity.
Very assertive, isn't she, Karina? Yeah, she's very assertive.
I suppose one thing we're going to have to watch is whether she's going to be able to learn to communicate more effectively and take her team's ideas on board. That's what we're going to have to watch, that, because you can't be that sort of, you can't have your blinkers on all the time. Yes, you could be strong and your decision is great and I'm running with it. However, it's how you deal with your other contestants. You've got to get them on board. You've got to be a team player.
Yeah, totally agree.
And it's interesting you say that. So what we've done here behind the scenes is we've essentially set all of the candidates up into our assessment platform, and we've done the data and analysis on each of the individuals and how they performed in that first task. And we did a specific look at the leadership qualities of both Akshay and Catherine. I wanted to share that with the viewers, with you now, Karina, to get your intake into it. So I'm just going to show you the scores on the doors, as it were. So as you can see from here, you've got all the candidates within the program, and you can see that Akshay was kind of middle table. He scored 12, and you've got Catherine, who was slightly ahead on 14. If you then go into the data and actually look at their heat map and their analysis of where they scored well and where they could have improved, you know, the leadership skills from Catherine were very good, driving quality, focus were good, some good commercial awareness. But just back up your kind of gut reaction, gut feeling here, you can see that communication wasn't brilliant, and the interpersonal skills there for Catherine are definitely something that she's going to need to work on as she progresses through.
She definitely had, you know, that leadership or assertiveness about her, but the way she communicated back to her team or almost dismissed them, she was quite dismissive, wasn't she? Some people will look at that and go, well, she's strong-minded, she knows what she wants, she's going to go for it. But other people will look at that and say, well, hang on a minute, she wasn't really including the rest of her team. So that could be obviously a downside. I agree with her. I think she definitely needs to work on them aspects. Do you, Karina?
Yeah, no, that is same with me. And you sort of revert back to yourself, Lee, don't you? Like, how did I run my team and how did I manage a successful task? And I think it is massively key that you have to, you have to get your team to buy into you, like, if you know what I mean. Like, my backwards roller coaster and all, let's do a show. I can't even think, but like, they were for it. Like, yeah, we're going to go. We're going to win this task. We're going to smash it. If they're all saying, God, she's just going on her own, you know, she don't listen to us. It's not going to make for a great sort of winner and leader and business partner. So, yeah, you just have to learn and adapt. And it's week one. She's got time. So as long as she takes it from the start, I think she'll do well.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You got to take people on that journey with you. And I think that it's almost maybe that enthusiasm of the first show, wanting to make an impact. Maybe they weren't willing to maybe listen to others' ideas. And I think it was more pronounced with Akshay, actually. So if you look at Akshay's graph, like communication in the red, interpersonal skills. And I think there was a lot of feedback on social media about, you know, his inability to take feedback. But on the flip side of it, his leadership qualities were good. His drive was good. His commercial awareness was good. And that's why you can see, as an overall, he's kind of, like I said, mid-table. He's done okay. But certainly, I think he's got the ability to rub people up the wrong way, and he really needs to take on that feedback. And I think if you remember Alex here, he actually called Akshay out and said, you know, you need to take on ideas. You're not listening to us.
What's interesting as well about, you know, the graphic that we've got in front of us as well, is that it looks like, and Karina, you called this right at the beginning, it looks like the boys as a whole have actually underperformed versus the girls' individual performances. And I was actually going to ask, do you feel that the girls' team was deserved winners? Should they have gone through? Did Lord Sugar get that bit right? And actually, the data's backing up that, yeah, absolutely, that the boys were, let's be honest, worse than the girls. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I'd agree. 100% I'd agree with that. And speaking to my dad, who, again, I work with, he has a massive opinion. He loves The Apprentice, loves talking about it. And when I asked him...
Hi, Karina's dad.
And we'll show him it. And he thought it was such a poor show that it was only worthy of a just win. Now, I thought, I don't know, maybe it's because I've been in there, maybe it's because I'm a female, I'm not sure. I feel like it was more than a just. I feel like they had that. I feel like they, every element of the task, they had and performed better than the boys. But that's how I feel.
Yeah,
just win. Like, there's some where you're like picking, like, oh, just, like, he was like, no, just, but don't know, maybe he's sticking out for the boys.
The thing is, I remember, even from our show back in the day, I remember how much it was called, but I don't know if it's changed now, a pack shot, you know, the shot of your avatar, your product, bang, in the shot, saying, this is who we are, buy me. And I remember Lord Sugar being so strong on it back in our day, that when the boys done the logo and they didn't even have the brand name on it, I was just like, man alive, what
can't believe, like, you would not design, I said this on my live, I was like, you would not design a logo, would you, unless you're Apple or someone distinctive who I can look at and be like, oh, that's Apple. What do you look, did they look at that and think that's oh my god, what do they think? Like, that's what makes me worry, that not
it, it no did one. Look like a banana going into a turd or something, didn't it? Or, you know, I know that loads of things been on social media about it, but it just looked bizarre. Like, I thought, like, when he first talked about the design, I think in his head he had something different to how it looked. Then instead of, and this was a key, wasn't it? Instead of him saying, oh, actually, this isn't right, we need to change it, he just ran with what he had, and it was definitely the wrong decision. I actually thought that he might have been fired based on that. So I thought that was a massive fundamental issue with the task or with the failing of the task. Let's talk about that then. So obviously the boys, their sip is shinking, Akshay brought back in Akeem and Harry. Why do you think he brought them two back in? Obviously Akeem I probably just touched on, but why Harry, do you think?
I think if you're hearing, so for him as PM, he's probably hearing that there was a bit more disruption in that logo design team, and that is where them two were, weren't they? Yeah, they were. Yeah. So they were with him making the video and that. And I know how it is. And this is where he maybe does have a good quality. He clearly listened to something, because he knows that there was more disruption on that side with regards to that hideous logo. No one intervening enough to change. Like, if you see your ship sinking effectively, what a great pun. Do something, help your team. Like, where's the loyalty to the team? That's what I just was. Yes, he made a rubbish decision and it was a rubbish logo, but you're all there saying, well, it doesn't say who we are. Like, who are we? How can you present that to anyone? It was shocking. So
yeah, I think that was interesting because if we go back to Harry, for instance, so obviously he ended up getting fired, but he was the only one in that team to actually call out that that logo was really poor. And then he put his ideas over in terms of, you know, what he thought was a better idea. And he was then shot down with Akeem. And I think that's why, for me, Akeem was in the firing line, because that main bit of feedback, it was a laughable design, a laughable logo. And then suddenly, you know, that's exactly the feedback that's happened. And Harry did call that out. However, I think the issue that Harry had, and just going on back onto the system, is that he had some good creative ideas, but his ability to influence, his interpersonal skills were just poor. He couldn't get his point across in a way that tried to get people on board. I think he just came across as quite objectionable, quite obstructive. Would you agree?
Yeah, I agree. And there's a way of doing it. And again, in business, you've got to be good at that. Like, you know, if I'm having a team meeting with my managers and they're bringing up great, they're so passionate about their ideas and, you know, but as a true leader, if you even know something's going to work, you're going to go with that and run with that. If you don't, there's a way of dealing with people in a leadership position. And if you show that them signs early on, I don't think you're going to be successful throughout the process, if you know what I mean. So
100%.
Yeah.
Harry, but that logo, Akeem, mate, he's got to pull something out of the bag.
Yeah, well, that's it. His creative thinking, as you can see, was red. He did demonstrate leadership, in my opinion, and he tried to influence the pitch as well. I think, you know, he tried to justify the design, but, you know, like you said, the sinking ship, it's hard to justify something that is that poor. And I think, again, his interpersonal skills, he didn't listen. He was trying to be decisive, but in that, I think he came across as a little bit maybe closed-minded to other ideas. And I think that's what ended up essentially scuppering him. But ultimately, he didn't get fired. And I think it was, Harry that did get fired. And, you know, I think Lord Sugar, he referenced that someone, that disruptive force. Did you see that within your series, Karina, in terms of those people that just really rubbed Lord Sugar up the wrong way? And was just like, no.
Yeah, but mine managed to hang on to final five. God, what was that about?
So did mine, to be fair.
Yeah, you're the most disruptive candidate I've ever seen, but you're still here, like, carrying on. I was just like, oh, my God. But, yeah, I mean, he knows what he's doing, and, it's going to be – I'm excited for task two. It's the product design, isn't it, next one?
Yeah, it's toothbrush. So they've got to basically go after a toothbrush. So just quickly then, we're excited. You know, I think, you know, the right question to ask Karina now is, did Lord Sugar get it right this week? Did he basically fire the right candidate, in your opinion, or would you have fired Akeem or Akshay?
I would have given PM Akshay another chance. Yeah, fine. Because you remember in the old days, maybe.
Oh, the old days, Karina, yeah.
The PM, do you remember there was a time where if you lost the task, you were more likely going to go and you would.
Yeah.
But now I feel like it's more that it's sort of span around where, well, I was brave enough to take on this load of boys, actually, and I've made some good decisions. So surely that would outweigh maybe my one wrong. Whereas if you do a load of wrongs and you haven't actually made any rights or things like that, then it doesn't really matter where you sit in that boardroom in the final.
I think you're spot on. Right, so in our series, our first task was fish task, right? So we went to Billingsgate Market, whatever it was. We had the fish attire on with big white fish, smelly boots, and we had to go and sell fish on a market stall. So it was just basically get involved, and then we had to choose a location and go after it. Alex, who's a top guy, by the way, and who I marked as my main competition, he put his name forward to be PM. We actually lost a task to boys, and he took in two of the other lads with him. Rafe and Nicholas, because they were disruptive. Alex could prove that, you know, from a leadership perspective, he'd done as best as he could and done really well. But the other two lads were seemingly very, very disruptive. And Lord Sugar ended up firing somebody who was quite posh, Nicholas, and disruptive. And that's how it actually went. But the feeling definitely in our series was you're up for being fired, aren't you, if you're the project manager?
Because
if you lose your title, you're going in the boardroom. As your record suggests, as does mine, so we've got that in common as well, either of us was never in the bottom three. So we could never have been fired. The first time that Laura Sugar could fire me was on the interview task, like task 11. That was the first time. And he could have easily fired me, to be fair. So thank you again, Chief, the boss, for not firing me. But, you know, I think that was generally the consensus. And I think you're right. Now you watch the shows, and actually it's not just about the team leader or the project manager. It's also about what else have you contributed.
Yeah.
Because that was my big thing. A little bit like you, being yourself and that passion, I just went in there thinking, I'm just going to give it my all. I'm just going to give it everything. Because even if I'm not influencing the task at the front end, like the PM or whatever, I'm still going to influence that task. I'm still going to sell more than anyone else. Yeah. I'm still going to be more creative as much as anyone else. And I'm going to put my stamp on it. And that's what I felt I did. And I think if you can do that, it gets you through them early rounds.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, same. Yeah. Oh, I love thinking about it. I love talking about it. I could just talk about it today.
It's so good. I mean, imagine having, because just throwing this out there. Imagine having a winners off. You know, there's 16 series. Imagine that. That's eight candidates on each team now. You know, 16 series. Don't like BBC? Could be out there. Who knows? This old dog still fancies his chances. Don't worry about that.
Brilliant. Against Mark and Ricky and Tom, I couldn't cope. No,
honestly, it'd be absolutely brilliant. I love them boys. They are top draw. So look, let's talk about your I suppose your gut feeling really, or what have you seen in some good? Who's impressed you the most this week, and who's your kind of one to watch, Karina, for the coming weeks?
I think I'm liking Francesca Blue Dress. Right? Am I right?
Yeah.
I think I'm liking someone that, you know, is again showing signs of authority and leadership in not a leadership or, you know, you're not in the main role, you're not in the hot seat, but yet you're showing early signs. I like that. Who else do I like? And the girl PM, I think she might be all right. So
I think Catherine could be really good as well. I think she could be good.
As long as she can rein in, that's what I mean. If I want to see her not BPM and listen and still deliver and be an all-rounder, that's what I see me as. Like, just be an all-rounder. So we'll see.
What I like to see, and there's obviously it's different in my day, as you mentioned before, but obviously now it's business partners and you've got businesses, whereas actually before it was working for Lord Sugar, mine and Tim and, you know, that Michelle Dubry, you know, that sort of era, Yasmina, Simon, etc. When you look at that area, it's different. But I look at people that have already got businesses and coming into this now, like yourself, like Francesca's already got a business. I think Alex from the boys' team, he's already got a business, a cleaning company. He feels like it. I don't know. He feels like he's quite down to earth. Maybe similar backgrounds to the likes of yourself and me. That sort of thing. So I would probably earmark him to get quite far, Alex. Okay. I agree with Catherine. I think Francesca as well.
What's
he's one to watch. He's got a commercial cleaning company.
Okay.
So, you know, again, so, you know, hard graft, isn't it, to be able to set that up and do that and that sort of stuff. So hopefully we'll see. It's very hard to judge, isn't it? Very hard to judge. Can I press you for a prediction? That would be amazing. Who, out of what you've seen in the class of 2022 so far, who do you think has the potential to actually go on and win it? You know, you mentioned earlier with your experience, you eyeballed the candidates and went, actually, she or he is my main competition. Who do you think is the person that could go on and win the show?
I'm going to go with two of the girls, Francesca and White Dress. This is what I mean. They're in the background. They could come through. Harpreet.
Harpreet Core. Cool. Yeah. Catherine was the team leader. Francesca was the lady in the blue dress.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to go. I thought I'd go for someone because I probably didn't get a lot of airtime. And lots of people said to me, cool, you didn't even come through till roller coasters. That was task six.
Yeah, so, I think there were some individuals that essentially did hold back a little bit. And maybe that's a tactic of just, you know, assessing the land before, you know, and before actually like putting their opinion across. But I think if we look into the statistics of, you know, who's actually come through in terms of the scoring. Amy did very well. So the American lady, I think she had a good good interpersonal skills, good level of emotional intelligence, a good degree of commerciality. The statistics back up your opinion on Francesca. I think she did very well, maybe didn't get as much of a chance to shine. It'll be really interesting, I think, when she gets to be PM. And Stephanie and Catherine scored high. Again, all the, out of the top five, four of the top five were girls, which is really interesting.
Yeah, Alan's in there though, isn't he, Chris?
Yes.
He's done quite well, I thought, in a sub-team.
Yeah, I think he did. He was collaborative. He had some good ideas. He didn't always get to express those ideas. I think, again, he got shot down by Akshay. But I thought that he had a nice manner about him.
Shot down by Akshay. Everyone got shot down by Akshay at some stage, didn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think as well, my dark horse is probably Connor. I think I think he's got good communication skills, got a good energy about him. It's going to be interesting to see how he steps up.
We know Lord Sugar loves a background in sales at some stage as well. So, you know, he could be a dark horse. So Chris's dark horse is Connor. Karina, it's been absolutely phenomenal to have you on our first show of the series. Would love to get you back on as well later on in the series as the series progresses. Of course, if you're happy to spend the time with us, it would be absolutely brilliant. Where can people find you? Where can they follow you? You know, what's your social media handles, that sort of stuff? How can they get in touch, all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, so I'm always up for sort of talking in my DMs if it's like business related, apprentice related. I don't mind doing that. So my personal one would be Karina Lepore with a little underscore. Adobe Bakehouse is very easy. Adobe Bakehouse, follow that please and check it out. And yeah, we're based in South London. I'm going to be going online soon, so that will reach sort of a bigger market because I get asked it all the time. So yeah, check it out and come and follow me.
Karina, you've been absolute superstar, as we knew that you would be. Thank you so much for spending the time. So there you have it. In the Line of Hire is up and running. The search is well and truly on for Lord Sugar's next business partner. And we will be back next time to review the toothbrush task, as I understand it. So absolutely fantastic. Thanks ever so much for all your interaction.
Yeah, thank you, Karina.
And we'll see you next time.
Thank you.